Welcome into episode 154 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got What's Crack, Swap Section is back, Review Section with Val Pierce's Knitted Rabbits, and a Mimi section, and the Shopee section. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/caithnesscraft. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week. Well, listeners, I'm on the phone again, can you tell? The reason being, I'm going off for the weekend to do the Aviemore Triathlon, and I kind of ran out of time today, and the Olympic opening ceremony is about to start soon. So after a very busy day, I still wanted to record, but I'm going to do this unedited, so hopefully all will be well. I hope I didn't burst your eardrums. So we have a Sandy hello to new group member, Sprite966, who is Helen and has a podcast, well, video cast that you might like to go and watch, and she's got a wonderful South Scottish accent. Random hellos are to Ivy Fox, who has a new Ravatar and totally confused me, but I like it. Erica Eccles, who is doing very well in her Uncal, and Perfect Circle. Oh, wow. Furry Face Fibres, Crochet Star Sally, JC Hant, LP Star, and Acanthus. Hello, everybody. Sorry. What's a crack? A couple of points from last episode. Apparently, there is an Urban Dictionary definition of Mumford, and this is not what I did on my holiday. I was referring to listening to the Mumford & Sons album I listened to because I crossed the Atlantic whilst I was listening to it. Holiday, wash your mouth out. You're all pausing now as you rush off to the Urban Dictionary. Anyway, had I known, I wouldn't have called the episode that. But I'm not changing it because it was perfectly clean. And I'm not sure if I did say actually properly. Thank you very much to both Ellen and Jan for organising the camp in the first place. I know myself how much organisation goes into it, and they had double the my number of people. Thank you, ladies. I thought it was a great success, and it's a credit to you. And I had bought way back in Edinburgh in March some Tamar yarn that I gifted to both of them. And also I gave them both a wee project bag that I had lino printed with the Jonna Groats CCC Retreat 2016, the one that's the right way round logo stuff on it. So it was a nice wee gift to them. But thank you, ladies, I did very, very much appreciate it. The memories will stay with us for a long time. And Jan, I'm so sorry to hear about little Guy. The family were very sad when we heard today. At the retreat, there were other twins there, and I loved chatting to them. Catherine and Marta, who had their birthday that weekend and made us all cupcakes, which, ooh, wow, delicious. And I think it was sitting with Lisa, and she had half hers at that time. And I said, oh no, I'm going to stuff a whole lot in my mouth. And halfway through, I was, oh, this is far too rich. And she was laughing because she was saving hers for later. I don't think it was Lisa, but whoever it was very clever. But Catherine and Martha are wonderful knitters and lovely people, and clearly enjoyed their sister time together. And plus, when I was sitting with them on the last day, I was very kindly given a wee unicorn needle keeper. I thought it was really kind of you, so thank you, ladies. My favourite memory, which for when I think of the camp, it was when I was in the swimming pool with the family, not knitting, but, and I was watching Beeville and Lisa being driven around in the golf cart by Cal, and Beeville was wearing her big pink hat and we were waving. She never saw us, but I was pretending we were the Queen. She had her doing the Queen wave, and it was honestly, they were like ladies being driven around. So it was just fair tickled me. I think you had to be there. And you should see the ideas that Margaret Whirlybird is coming up with for next year's camp. I may steal some of those for my own retreat, come closer to the time. Obviously with permission, but who's to know? Yes, I know Margaret. Hi, how are you doing? Oh, look, swallows. We had the annual Wick Gala Week, and in this, the Caithness Quilters hire the Wick Assembly Rooms and they have an exhibition of work, which was really wonderful last week. I have a couple of montage photos on Instagram. I've finally downloaded the app that lets you make a collage of photographs, which is quite good for that kind of thing. You know, I try not to flood your feed of too many photos at one time, even though I had at least three at a time when I was on holiday, so it, oops. But I think I would have used the app if I'd had it, and it was when Louise Scully, Miss Louise, asked me if I could do a collage of my favourite Instagram pics, and her and Felicity Ford were doing monkey business by the looks of it. Yes. We all know that you two were up to mischief and fun for Woovember. So, I thought, oh, I better download this app. So I downloaded it and it was quite good fun. And I'm going to deviate because here, I'm going to moan about the Instagram. This is why it's in here. And it's, I don't like this non-linear feed on Twitter too. I'm only seeming to see certain people's feeds these days because of when it first went to algorithms to show more of what you like most. I wish to have liked their feeds, and now I see little else of anybody else's, which is frustrating. I like who I follow, or I'd not follow you, but I like to see a variety of listeners and Twitters. This is not me, and it's not you either, it's Twitter and Instagram. And I rarely, rarely like your food photos, so please don't take offence. And also, I don't very often comment on Instagram, purely because I can't be bothered doing it on my phone. But when I like it, I really like it. Prince Charles is in residence at my next door castle this week. Castle of me. I actually watched the helicopter come in this afternoon when I was in the garden. He's at the Castle of Mead doing some Scottish engagements, and on Sunday, my children and their school are going to be singing at the Canosby Church for him. He's also going to be at the Highland Games tomorrow and Saturday in May if you want to go and wave your flag. The Helmsdale Highland Games are a week later this year on the 20th, but we are planning going down again to see my family. And if you're in the area either time, then it's a brilliant afternoon out and dress for the weather. I actually made a scrubby. I think I'll talk about it later, if I remember. But now I'll tell you about it now because I'm bound to forget with having not been editing and stuff. I made plarn and then I crocheted a round thing and it came out okay. I used it to scrub my pans and it was okay, but it kind of only lasted about four washes. I was quite careful not to use it on knives or too sharp things, but I think the heat of the water stretched it. And if you're using plastic bags, sometimes things are printed on plastic bags that come off, so it aged quite quickly, but it was getting more use out of it than I would have done had I just chucked it in the bin. So I thought that was quite interesting and I would pass it on to you. Right, now we have that wasn't a sniff, that was just heavy breathing, honest. You never noticed. Review section. I have Knitted Rabbits by Val Pierce for you to hear about. I got this out of Wick Library and it made me laugh to see all the wee rabbits and carrots on the cover. This is by Search Press and it's 20 easy knitting patterns for cuddly bunnies. It retails in at $9.99 and $17.95 US and Canadian dollars. This one's hardback and 20 by 24 centimetres. I had the metric tape measure handy. In it we have 20 different bunny patterns to knit and there's a range of sizes and uses for the rabbits. There's finger puppets, egg cozies, bean bags, a bride and groom, and plenty of toy-only purposed bunnies. This is aimed at all ranges of knitting ability, from the novice knitter or children who have just learnt to knit, through to the knitter who has too much time on their hands and can sit and make a bridal veil and lace dress ability. Mostly I would say that it's aimed at the has had some experience of working in the round with fiddly small bits and can also sew up quite well because most of the rabbits are made in pieces or have clothes or accessory which need to be sewn up. The photos, I think they're pretty good, by Paul Bricknell. They have close up for knitting, progressing of details, and then there's the, you know, comical poses of the wabbits. And I like the aesthetic of the book because most pages there's a watercolour mark behind the writing and then little bunny heads along the bottom. It's fun. And the paper's nice quality and it's a nice book to flick through. There's your bog standard knitting curly bunny using furry fun fur, and he's very cute. There's your occasion bears for babies, Valentine's Day, wedding, Halloween, Christmas puppet. The other ones are for the love of the bunny and have some clothes that are made separately which can be dressed or undressed and dressed again. There's a fairy bunny, and that's the one thing I'm not so sure of because her dress looks like it's on back to front because it's as low on her front to her belly button. She does have a seriously cute pink pom-pom tail, so we will forgive her. Now, when you see the dress by itself, because there's a photograph of the way the dress is just by itself, which I think is great, but when you put it on that particular rabbit, it just looks like it should be a bit higher up her chest because she's getting a really bad cold, fairy bunny or not. Even Daisy mentioned it. I really like the tiny fluffy bunny who's made out of white, chunky, fluffy yarn, and it wells. It sits in the palm of your hand. I've got wells, I must have done a typo. I'm reading this as a script just in case you wonder. It just looks sweet as fudge to me. I would say tablet, but some of you don't know what that is. It's kind of hard fudge. And if someone needed just a wee softy to have as a hug, then this would be quite nice. You know, something to put in your handbag and just, or your pocket. Or a wee girl's pocket. Or a wee boy's pocket. There's hardly anything to it. I think that the sewing and stuffing probably take longest, and I've actually cast this on. Some of you will have seen my Instagram and Twitter feeds of a lump of black fun fur and freaked out. Please still speak to me, listeners. This was me thinking, well, I like this little bunny rabbit and I'm going to attempt it and see how good the pattern is so that I'm reviewing for it even better than normal. Yes, I am. Most of the bunnies have embroidered on eyes, barring one that has safety eyes. And of course, you're going to think about that, what you're using it for, before you give it to a small bairnie so that then they don't chew it off and choke on it. The reason that this book made me take it home was the fact that one of the rabbits, the beanbag bunny, which has a small bag of beans at the bottom of him to make him sit up, looks almost like the one that I made from the Susan B. Anderson workshop. And I have just this minute, when I was writing this, realised I didn't have it my project page on Ravelry, which I have now put on. And I used Knitpick sock weight, and this is in a mottled pink, and it's about the colour of this bunny, and I thought, oh, is that my bunny? And then I thought, no, it's close, but no cigar, because this bunny is made in pieces and then sewn together, whereas Susan's was pretty much knit in one piece. And I would utterly recommend Susan's pattern, and in fact I'm quite tempted to make another one. I saw Twin Sets Jan's Flavio rabbit when I was over in DC, and the memories. But back to the book. What I really liked about this book is that all yarn is done by weight, a knot yarn company, which can sometimes put people off. Toys don't necessarily need to have the same type of yarn as garments, just possibly the weight. So it's a good way to use up stash, and especially the odd bits at the bottom of your baskets from other projects. This book's good fun. It's well laid out and clearly written with bright, fun wabbit formants. If you're in need of cart or bunny and you think, I quite like that wee critter on page 52. It's going to use up the black eyelash yarn I have in my stash. And you have a bit of time in the school holidays then. This book is for you. I myself am quite happy to take it out of the library to knit from, and whilst there's no Bugs Bunny or Roger Rabbit in there, there's quite a few wabbit varmints to tempt my twitchy hands. The bairns had a flick through this today, and they've both now requested bunnies. A knitter's queue is everlasting. So this is Knitting Rabbits by Val Pierce. She's also written a few other books that you might like if you like this type of book, which is Knitted and Crocheted Bears, Little Christmas Decorations to Knit and Crochet, and there's various others as well. The Uncal, or pick up your sticks and start again. If you have a whip that you had picked picked up from after the 1st of June when the Uncal ended, and you finish it by September the 1st, you are entered into a second drawing for even more Luscious Bounty, which includes a pattern by Jane Sheelan, whose podcast I watched, because she offered me Jane, thank you, and her dog, Doug, he's fantastic. He does paw at it, and he does turn round, and then he sits. He's a Bickle needs to watch Doug. You should go and watch her because she's got loads of good prizes, and she's very, very enabling. Also, to be noted, your whip doesn't need to be something that was in the Uncal, but something you possibly haven't worked in for quite a while, as a couple of you have asked about that. It would be good if you did actually start working on your Leave It project, because you loved it once enough to start it. And I hope that you're all entering these projects and into other cals such as Stash Dash. The Ravelinic starts today, actually, and no, I'm afraid I'm not having a group. I am so rubbish at keeping up with the everyday moderation of things. Plus, we had the big competition for the Uncal, and sounds awful, but it does kind of cost me money and postage. So, I'm not going to have that big competition for a bit. And mainly it's because I'm rubbish at actually remembering to go back in every day. So I've sort of stepped back from doing the big ones as Tour de Fleece and Ravelinix. We watched a fair bit of the Tour de France, and I was delighted, and congratulations to Chris Froome, who won again. And I'm just amazed at how fit they all are. It is quite inspirational, because you watch it, and then when you kind of do that kind of thing, you think, wow. I love watching the triathlon. I'm really looking forward to the Olympics triathlon. The 2 weeks when we can be as a world focus on a positive event of the Olympics, when crying, mostly happy tears, we see the best of humanity, and it just makes my heart swell with gladness. You know the Embrace song, "One day a year like this will see me fine for life." Well, this is that. All the very, very best, Team GB. I will be cheering for my house and being inspired by your achievements. Plus, I'm going to be channeling Norm Stanford, Helen Jenkins and Vicky Holland this Sunday, when Richard and I and various other Wiggers and Keith Nugent take part in the Aviemore Triathlon. Oh, I'm going to announce a new swap section. Now, this is going to be called Legends of the Fall. I know it's still summer, but my thoughts have moved forward a bit. It all started in January when we lost the legend, that's David Bowie, and then 2016 just keeps getting worse and worse. Alan Rickman, Prince, Carolyn Ahern, Victoria Wood, all the nasty terrorist thing going on, and not to mention the politics. And I've not done a swap since Christmas, and I thought I would do another one because I like swaps, and I've not had good posts for weeks now. So this is to celebrate the legends that you admire. They can be alive, or they can be dead. But my thought is, if you sign up into the thread that I'm going to open, and you put down that you want to take part in this, obviously, if you enter, but if you want to take part, enter yourself in here, and you put down what legend you want to do a swap about. And then, I'll put down what you have to do as the swap, but it'll be the same as probably the last big swap we did, which is one item made by you for the person with the legend in mind. So it can be so tenuous. I'll go into that in a second. And there'll be a smaller item bought, and the total cost of this swap will be, at the most, I'd say £40. I think that's quite a lot, but this should be a good quality swap. And then a couple of items that your person will think is quite cool. So, for instance, Elvis. I love Elvis. I also love Johnny Cash. But we're going to choose Elvis because this is the one I've already got down. So, the King. You could make a cape for the person in the gold lamex colourway. You could knit it. You could sew it. You could even do it wooden. You could do a wooden heart as a little item. You get my drift. You could do return to sender and write them a letter, address unknown. So basically, get your legend and think about what you would make that will suit the person that you're getting. This is your legend that you are doing the swap for, not the person's legend that you are got, because this is the person that you admire. And when we have to the end of the month, which I'm going to give you until, in fact, I'm going to open the swap, I haven't written this bit down, can you tell? I'm going to open the swap thread quite soon, and then when you've put it in, and then I'll close the thread at one point, say, when did I say, because I've already recorded this, but took it out of the last episode, so it was so long. The end of September, and then you have October to get everything done. In fact, I'll say mid-September, give you plenty of time. Have it sent out by the end of October, and then it should be all organised and over and done with by November time, and then we'll do the Christmas decoration swap again afterwards. So, what to do is put your name in, who your legend is, and maybe put things that you like in there. So if you wouldn't wear an Elvis cape, but you like the colour gold. I don't know. What to do is put your favourite colours in, what you maybe would and wouldn't wear. If you live in a too hot climate, you wouldn't have a requirement for a big thick hat or scarf or something. And then when I have finished the swap, like the date has finished, and I'm going to say the middle of September, I think that's, I keep changing it, the rules will be perfect in the thread, honest gov, and I'll send out a wee reminder, and then basically the first person that's in there on the time it's the 15th of September, they can go to the swap one that they think the best of, say I like Elvis and I'm going to pick on Louise Scully, she likes all of them actually, but see she liked David Bowie, and I think David Bowie, oh, he's so quite cool, I'd quite like stuff back from him. I'm going to choose Louise. Now, Louise could have gone in there before me, and she could have chosen Britt Yarns, and Britt Yarns is big into Caroline O'Hearn, so they're going to there do the swap. I'll write it down, it'll make perfect sense, but I'm going to let you pick your legend, and then basically whoever's left is just going to get paired up. So you're going to do the picking, and hopefully there'll be enough odd number, I think, or even number, it'll have to work out, but I'll get there, it'll be fine. So this is just to celebrate all the legends that we admire, and they don't have to be dead, they could be alive and they could be knitting people, but as long as we can find some information out about them, could be not so famous person, but somebody who's done something quite extraordinary, who therefore deserves to be a legend. So have some fun with this and think about what you could do as a swap. Well, I wish I'd written that out better, but I'd already said it properly in the last episode, edited it, and of course I'm not using that, so however, there we go, look to Ravelry for that. Moving on. Me section. Actually lost my place in the script. On to knitting. First, narky knitting and cross crochet. I was narked with my knitting the other night. I was getting on famously with my colour collusion shawl by your friend of mine, Jan. I thought, this should be decreasing equally, and it's not. I'll fudge it. It looked awful. I'll squint. Then I found a knot in the yarn, which I suppose kind of, it's okay, but I thought it was a bit of fluff. And I didn't really pay much attention to it, and it was a tiny little knot. And I left it, and then the next line it came apart. What was that going to do? I dropped stitches, I managed to knot it again, and then I fudged carrying Owen. And then I looked at in the daylight at Mum's, and we looked at each other and just went, nah. So I've ripped the whole lot out of this second triangle. And now I'm kind of in the mood for actually picking it back up. And then I thought, I'll work on Sandy's Black Dragon Toothless, who I'm crocheting. Then I can't find where I've tidied away the pattern before I went on holiday. So I had to print out another. which still sitting there. Then I thought, oh, I'll do some of my Outlook in because I really feel like I need to knit. Then I remembered at which point I'd left the Outlook in before the holiday with the wrong stitch count. And I need to take it back a couple of lines to get it to the right stitch count on the right row. I remember hearing Paula of Knitting Pipeline say quite recently she counts her knitting quite a bit. Paula, you have a point. So I'm going to channel Paula a bit more when I'm... Ah, it'll be fine. Carrying on regardless. However, in non-narky news, on the way south to Glasgow, I was sitting in the back seat of the car because Miss Deasy and Sanders McSandyface were taking turns in feeling carsick. Thankfully not actually being carsick, but they take turns then sitting in the front seat. So I was sitting knitting in the back seat, socks for Deasy. She must have been sitting with me at some point because I leaned over to see how they fitted her. In fact, I think we were coming into Inverness when I did that. And I thought, and I kind of knew what the tension square size was, but did I take pattern? And how many stitches should I cast on? No, I did not, listeners. Whilst I had other knitting for being in the United States, I hadn't organised properly getting there and back again knitting properly. I was a bad hobbit. So I decided to knit Daisy socks using the West Yorkshire Spinners sockweight yarn in the Christmas colours from last year. I have made Sandy some and I had promised Daisy some too, so it was well about time, being July. She decreed in her childlike manner of, I wanted this, was cuff, heel and toes in the variegated colours and the body in the cherry red. And I don't care that you don't know how to make them, but I expect you to be able to. Children are good that way. High expectations, so gives mum a chance to strive to achieve them. And after getting about 2 inches into the sock, I think I got to Glasgow to try it on her again, and it was way too big. So I ripped it all out, and Ella and I discussed how many stitches, so I cast on less, got the cuff done, I think, before going to the airport. Not sure, mind. So I was well onto the main colour, and I got a good 4 inches on, and I think I tried it on her again, which we were on the plane, and it was where she wanted it to be. And then I think, what do I do now? I have no pattern, in paper book or on my phone iBook. So they got put into the bag for later. And in between the Ella's house and coming into Jan's flat in Washington DC, I had misplaced one of my DPNs. Now these are premium bamboo, clover, DPNs. So they're kind of pointy and still wood, so they might snap. And where did we find it? Poking out of one of the rucksacks when we were getting out the taxi into the flat. Just about took two children's and a husband's eye out. So I was in the bad books. But when I was gifted the little needle holder by one of the twins, it doesn't happen anymore. However, so whilst I'm on holiday, I did have internet access and I was listening to a couple of podcasts and I see photographs of Susan B. Anderson's sock along with her new pattern, Smooth Operator Socks. I mentioned them last episode. This pattern is directly aimed at using self-striping or patterning sock yarn so you can knit the stripes in order and not go all doolally when you get to the heel. And it helps with all those OCD and sock knitting ladies and gentlemen, as it uses a very well explained afterthought heel and then how to pick up the stitches smoothly and also have a nice round toe for those who have round toe happiness. Susan used the Must Dash yarn and fibres perfect self-striping yarn, which looks very nice, and properly to work with too, it must be if Susan's endorsing it. The other self-striping I've seen recently was Mind the Gap by Trailing Clouds Nimbus self-striping yarn, which is the colours of the London Underground stations. And I can't remember who was using it, but I do like that. And I've seen it a couple of times before. And then also Whirly Bird has some white birch fibre art self-striping, which was pretty cool too. There's plenty of cool yarns out there for being so specific about this project. As for me, I'm using the techniques. Well, as patterns go, this is lovely to read. She has it in conversational style, as she says at the start. Lots of good photos in the right place for when you need them, and lots of good helps and tips. We were going down to Inverness last Friday to pick up Mum from the train from her holiday and do a bit of shopping. And when I was driving through Golspie, when he was driving through Golspie, I was actually sitting in the front seat for a change. I started to put in the afterthought heel and then realised that my waist yarn wasn't long enough, so I had to carefully take it back out. And then I had loads of other bits of yarn in the Notions pouch, which is always a good thing to have. So I got one long enough and I had it put back in by 10. Then when I was driving north, I was actually driving this time, Mum got to have a wee bit of knit on the foot for quite a bit, and her tension's slightly different to mine. It's a little bit tighter. I have picked up the heel, and my suggestion would be make sure that you either have enough needles, but I think what you should do is actually just put the stitches that you've got live onto waist yarn. I've put it onto a big safety pin, you know, one of them needle holders, but to be perfectly honest, I think it would be better on a bit of waist yarn because it's holding the, well, getting it on was a pain and getting it off is going to be even worse, but I just think it would be better. Susan's probably got a million of the right sizes of DPNs and I aspire to that, but I don't have them. So that's a lesson learned for the next sock that I do. I quite enjoy taking out the waist yarn that was in. She says just trim it as you go, so I did. And also, I suggest that you use a good sturdy darning needle to take it out, or something that won't bend, because you're kind of using a little bit of tension when you're taking out the stitches. Right, so picked up Mum from the train station. Then we went to Wynn Park for the play park. Then we went to Tissot's for coffee. And then we went up to Helmsdale and stopped at La Mirage for a chippy tea. And I left my cardigan there, but Rogers managed to pick it up. And then we went north to Wick. And I think we were just about in Wick. And we finally told her all our holiday stories. And she told us all her holiday stories when we got into Wick. We had a lot of stories. It was really funny because Richard kept saying, "Have you told her about this yet?" I says, "No, we're only on Thursday." And also I got some Ruby news because she saw her and she got another all clear. So they've got another 5 weeks to go before the next set of tests, but she's doing really well. She tires easily, obviously, but she's playing and she's happy and the family are happy and they're going to have a nice summer. So I recommend, this is a bit of a long-winded way of doing it, but I do recommend Susan B. Anderson's Smooth Operator Sock Pattern. And plus, you get to pretend you're to be Smooth Operator Singer. I'm a Smooth Operator. Well, I'm a big Susan fan, but I'm not really Smooth Operator. I did finish something. It was a dishcloth. This was using Sugar and Cream cotton and I had cast on 4 rows of garter stitch and then I had done a basket weave stitch and I just kept going and kept going and then thought, I don't think I've got enough to do another set of 4 lines of this basket weave stitch, so I'll just do garter stitch. I ended up with 8 lines of garter stitch at the end, but I quite like the colours of it. It is sort of spearmint blue and aquamarine turquoisey thing and a white. So it's in use already. On to the sewing front. I said before the Wick Gala Caithness Quilters exhibition. I took my Sheena Norcoy stick figures wall piece, and this is one where I've got 3 runners on and it says eat, sleep, run, repeat. I do still intend to make a triathlon version of this, but when I took it home, I finally put it on my wall in my sitting room. I don't know why I hadn't before, but it's there now and it's inspiring me to do the triathlon one with the triathlon coming up this weekend. The other work was, as ever, Amazon. There was quilts, wall hangings, bags, tea cosies, cushions, pincushions, the list went on. There were from everyone from beginners to the beautifully machine quilters' expertise, where it looks the same on both sides. There was a section just for Christmas, because it really does lend itself to quilting, with tree skirts and mantelpiece elves and wall hangings galore. There's also some unfinished quilts, which I quite like. It shows that we're not all perfect and are happy to show our work at all stages. One of them is purple and orange. I'm not sure if purple and orange goes. I've taken a photograph and I don't know. I'll let you decide. It wasn't finished. It didn't have its binding on. So maybe the colour of the binding will draw it together. But I kind of thought, I don't know if the colours go. Then I looked at it and what do you think? I uploaded all the photos onto the Flickr pages if you need to see them. There is a few on Instagram and Twitter too. We had Isabel and Juliana both using their sewing machines, embroidering and just sewing, so that people could see how to do it. Juliana was freestyle machine embroidering and she's so good at it, so it's just delightful to watch her. We had a charity sales table of things for sale, such as bags, tea cosies, pillows, coasters and the wee cat pin cushions seem to go down quite well with the Bernies of Wick. We also had the fabric fairy shop from Gosby, who is a member of the group, and she took up her stock of fabric and some notions. And whilst I could really do with some green fabric for the back of my tartan bags, which I haven't made to replenish the shop yet due to small children being on school holidays and requiring attention, the fabric fairy didn't have the forest green colour that I know matches a fair few of my tartans. So I drooled from afar, leaving no marks on their lovely fabrics. If you're near Gosby, do go find their shop, and it's just down the side of the Play Park Road. Look them up on the internet first for their opening hours, because they aren't a big outfit. Anne from our textile artist has been having a clear out of her craft items over the summer. We're like a horde of locusts, or whatever they... the cicadas, I think that's how you say it, going through it all. Paula said that today as well. I've forgotten how to say it. I was going to be so good. Never mind. Anne is so lovely and she's donated £450 to the local hospital where her husband spent some time with palliative care, and it goes to the from the proceeds of the sale. I thought it was really kind of her and cathartic for her too. Anne has lovely taste in crafty things, so everything was kind of fighting over it, really. It was quite funny. And of course, there was tea, coffee, and as much baking as you could throw a stick at as part of your entry price, which was £3. So that's not bad now, is it? I was on the baking stand, and we raised a fair bit for funds, and also we gave a donation to Macmillan from the sales table. It was really nice to be among the group of crafty ladies and see some of them, because we've not seen each other for weeks, so there was a bit of catching up to do. The general consensus is that we're missing our Thursday sewing days the most, and we can't wait to get back in September. It's funny how the simplest of days means so much to them all. We have the church hall, we take our own lunch, we just pay £3 a day, which covers the church electricity and use of equipment. I love it because I get to spend a day a week with my mum, and I try to squirrel out the group as much sewing and crafting knowledge as they will let me without them realising. And the day before the exhibition, I had grabbed my quillow and I put the pillow onto the back, and then I attached the binding to one side, but now I need to hand sew the back of it on. For some reason, I put it back upstairs and I haven't started it yet. I am looking forward to using this quilt too, so I'll have to get on with it soon. Ooh. Is this in the library corner? But it's not really, it's in the games corner. We've been playing Pokemon Go. Not so much out and about, because there's very little 3G in Caithness. In fact, there's only place I can get it is Wick on my mobile phone provider. There is more if you're on different ones, but I'm not. We had great fun in Inverness. I thought I missed a Squirtle, and I'm quite annoyed. But... we haven't managed to make gyms, or certainly haven't been doing it when we've been driving or anything. Be safe when you're Pokemoning. But it's quite good fun, and the Burns just loved it. They went absolutely daft when they got it in the house. The other game that we've been enjoying is Crossy Road. I like the Disney version, so I would recommend that. It's free. Although, yeah, it's got in-game purchases, so you have to be careful that your children don't know your password. Or are old enough to know that they're not allowed to buy things in games. Oh, That's the end of me. Hold on. Showbiz Action, thank you very much for your likes last week. No purchases. That's not a bad thing, it's okay. Because the shop doesn't have an awful lot in it. There's one red McGregor tartan bag, there's a handbag and a notepad. And it's got the hand embroidered cover with Dinner Fash in it for you Outlander fans. So if you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff back as well, please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caitlin's Craft. And when the children go back to school and I stop doing so much triathlon training, I will fill it up quite too sweet and buy the green material, you know, usual Louise fare. But it helps with the podcast costs, and then I'm able to purchase gifts and prizes and post things. The hidden cost is in the post. Blah 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 section. Whew. Oh, hold on, I want a bit of this. Both of them. Thank you very much for listening and listening to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft. And you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. The music is Country, Division and Good Time, just from the Podbean app. Apologies for anything I've said wrong, and apologies for not editing this, but there's Buchel. See, I would edit him out normally. I don't know if you heard that or not. Anyway, happy Olympic game. Watching, possibly if you're taking part. I don't know if I've got any Olympic athletes. How cool would that be? But all the best. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting. In fact, I want some good time to see us out. I'll do it until just after the bounce.